East Coast Breakfast. The good, the bad, and the ugly. With Terence Pillay.
Hello, Terence.
Hello, Darren.
Tell me about this nightmare experience a young man or 11-year-old boy detained by immigration.
An 11-year-old boy experienced his worst nightmare recently when he was detained by immigration and not allowed access to his parents for 4.5 hours. So it's a story that has upset me like nothing has before. This 11-year-old kid detained for 4.5 hours by immigration in Johannesburg because of a simple glitch in his visa that was not his fault to begin with. So let me paint the picture for you. 11-year-old Sam, not his real name, has South African parents who lived overseas at the time of his birth, meaning that he's effectively foreign and travels on a foreign passport. His mother now still lives overseas, but his father's back in South Africa, and Sam travels regularly between the two parents. When he was here last year, he fell ill and overstayed his allotted 30 days in South Africa by 2 weeks. His father then provided immigration with all Sam's medical records and doctor's reports and the reason for him overstaying here, but he was unaware that these documents were never processed by immigration, which would have meant that this blot on his passport record would have been expunged. Cut to a year later, and Sam arrives in South Africa to spend the Christmas holidays with his father, only to be detained at immigration at OR Tambo International Airport because his passport was flagged with this visa issue. But of course, our very efficient and friendly immigration staff at OR Tambo don't tell the child any of this. They take him into a room where he's kept for 4.5 hours and given only a packet of crisps. In that time,
he's 11 years old.
11 years old, despite having travel documents that explicitly list his father's details, his parent is not called and not made aware of what.
Well, if he's 11,
happening.
He's flying unaccompanied minor, so they have to have those
minor,
details.
100%. Father's not called, so the child has to just sit there and endure the trauma of not knowing what's going to happen to him while the immigration officers went about their day. His father, in the meantime, waiting just 50 meters outside from where the child is being held, although not knowing this was going on, started to panic and inquire about the whereabouts
of
his son. Eventually, he got hold of the airline on which the child flew and was only then made aware of the fact that the minor child was being detained and why. And so began his futile attempt to get immigration to listen to his explanation and investigate its legitimacy. I spoke to the father on condition of anonymity because his son is to fly back overseas soon and he doesn't want him to be victimized by this department when he leaves. The father says his treatment by immigration was most unprofessional. The officers were belligerent, one even laughing at him when he tried to plead with her to allow him to be with his child. Wesley Matthew, a writer on the blog savisas.com, says in recent times the Department of Home Affairs has held an almost omnipotent position in South African society. Frustrated citizens and foreigners alike have encountered the department's perceived lack of respect for the rule of law. He also says the South African Immigration Act number 13 of 2002 provides immigration officials with a rather wide-ranging powers when it comes to arrest, detention, and deportation of illegal foreigners. In some instances, these powers have been abused, and that's exactly what happened in this case. My issue with the story is not with the visa debacle, but the fact that a minor child was held with no information or explanation and without adult representation. I believe immigration failed in their duties because they didn't actually follow the law. The first thing they should have done was contact the adult responsible for the child and advise him of what was going on. Secondly, the child should have been handled by an officer with extensive training in childcare, not by some fool who handed him a packet of crisps and made him sit in a room with no explanation of what was happening. And the father told me that the child was notably traumatized by this experience and was visibly upset and hungry when he finally reunited with his son without even an apology. And coming up, I spoke to Mark Hardwick of The Guardian, and I spoke to a psychologist, and I'll weigh in on what they say about this incident.
What's coming up in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Part 2.
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, with Terence Pillay.
Terrence, the moment you said to me, I don't know what, I seriously do not know what I would do if my 11-year-old child was detained in a room for 4 hours just on the other side. I'm on this side of the airport, and they're on that side, and then no one's talking to me, and no one's communicating to me.
50 meters away.
Listen, I'm giving a heads up to all immigration services. This person here will go postal. I will go proper postal. I'll go find a heavy-duty vehicle outside, make my way through to that room, and get my child. And then once my child is safely with me, I'll say, okay, what seems to be the problem? How may we fill out the forms?
100%. I mean, I think any parent would go ballistic. So, you know what? I chatted to Mark Hardwick from The Guardian about this issue, and he said that a child, in terms of the Child Justice Act, may not be detained.
Mm-mm.
Their parents need to be contacted as soon as possible, failing which, a social worker needs to be contacted immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But Mark says, sadly, this is only the theory. In practice, resources can be challenging. But he says this should not be the excuse. Very often these departments default to the resource argument. If they have for at least the last 10 years been able to identify the problem, why is it not rectified? Additionally, this failure to rectify it is impacting the child, whose rights are not only protected in this space by statutory law, but are constitutionally protected in South Africa. It's also defined in the African Charter on the Rights and Welfare of Children and the United Nations Convention of the Rights of Children. Incidentally, South Africa was a signatory on both these charters, which were signed in 1995. I also chatted to clinical psychologist Francois Demarini about this case, and he said that any child traveling alone and faced with these circumstances will experience distress and trauma, but the extent of it will depend on the resilience of the child. He said the departments like immigration that experience these kinds of issues that involve children should have personnel that are able to handle the situation a little more sensitively than it appears to have been handled here. He said that this child should have been handled by a trained professional, not necessarily a psychologist, but certainly a counselor. Demarini said that the department could employ the services of a counselor on an on-call basis, where two or three counselors are available to facilitate the needs of the child in instances like this. Now, according to savisas.com, if you find yourself in a position where you suspect your rights are being infringed as a foreigner, it's advisable to contact a firm of attorneys in order to gain clarity. It goes without saying that officials are well within their rights to deport illegal foreigners, provided they do so through the correct channels. And if you have been deported and banned from South Africa but wish to fight the decision, you can do so by way of a visa overstay appeal for South Africa. Now, I am going to give immigration their right to reply and a chance to tell me their side of the story in a future show, possibly next week. But right now, the child and his parent are terrified that the child could be victimized by this department when he returns home later this month. I will keep my finger on the pulse of the story. East Coast Breakfast.